In this election, we each face a question. What kind of country do we want to live in? There are some people who think we should be a country of chaos, of fear, of hate. But us, we choose something different. We choose freedom.
Freedom!
The freedom not just to get by, but get ahead. The freedom to be safe from gun violence. The freedom to make decisions about your own body. We choose a future where no child lives in poverty, where we can all afford health care, where no one is above the law. We believe in the promise of America, and we're ready to fight for it. Because when we fight, we win. So join us. Go to KamalaHarris.com and let's get to work.
I'ma keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. I like that. I like the way that sounds. I like the way I love the music. Oh, I don't know what the words are, so don't write me and say, oh, do you know what the words are? I don't. But I like the groove. It's just cool. And that's Kamala. Kamala's cool. And of course, everything she says is true, right? Well, you know, she loves freedom, except I couldn't help but think when she's saying that we love freedom, I couldn't help but think that she comes from a family of slave owners. You guys do know that, right? That from her native country, they owned plantations and they had slaves. She doesn't talk about that, but she loves freedom, by the way. And I have a feeling freedom has been redefined by Kamala. Freedom to what? Destroy the life of your baby? Freedom from gun violence, she said, because she's going to take away the freedom of people to have guns in order to give you the freedom not to be hurt by a gun. So it's a perversion of the word, but I couldn't just kind of let that sit. But I wanted you to hear how powerful her ads are. I mean, great stuff. If you're not informed, that sounds really good to me. All right, well, we've got an election coming up. When you hear this, it's going to be, well, it will be Monday. You'll hear it the day before the election. That's when we're recording it. It's the day before. Can't believe it. Can you? It's coming up. It's tomorrow. I find myself not anticipating, not looking forward to it. I think it's going to be tough. But I'm going to talk to you about polls today. Bruce is going to be with me. We have a lot of stories from around the country, a lot of fun things, actually, some interesting things, some not so fun things. And we're going to share with you just what we're hearing. Of course, no one knows. I think everyone would say no one knows right now, but we're going to talk about what we do know and encourage you in any way we can, certainly to vote tomorrow, and give you some information so you'll be better equipped as you go into that voting booth. Well, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. I want to tell you, we are now on Telegram. A lot of people are using Telegram. A lot of my J6 friends are using Telegram, but a lot of others are too. So we are certainly on there. We're on Instagram. And then the traditional platforms of Facebook and Twitter and Truth Social and YouTube. I'm on YouTube also if you want to see videos of things that we have done. So you can also write us, did I say that? At sandy@afr.net, because we love to hear from you. You can also go to sandyrios.com and listen to the podcast. All right. But before we get into the show today and the meat of things, you know, you hear a lot about saving babies on this show. And that's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank. We really have to do something about this. We're getting actually, I think, more desperate about how to save babies' lives. As we talk, there's an amendment on the Florida ballot that will add the right to abortion for all 9 months in the Constitution of Florida. And there have been ballot initiatives like that in the past. There probably are some in other states as well. But we're in a real crucial time where our ability to make the case that life is sacred is slipping away from us, because I don't think we have articulated enough the preciousness and the value of life and the harm to women who choose to abort their babies. Preborn does makes the case beautifully. Just showing the mom a picture of her baby in utero, it works more than half of the time. It's not a gimmick. It works because it's real. It grips them. They change their minds. And so if you'd like to support preborn, you can provide one ultrasound for $28. And, of course, you can do any multiple of that. Anything you can give will be greatly appreciated. So many of you have been so generous, and I'm really grateful. I think we've saved a lot of lives of babies and of moms, by the way. So, and I'm not talking about literal lives. I'm talking about deep spiritual things, redemption of the soul, keeping them from making a terrible choice that will scar them for life, even if they don't realize it now. So go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. Okay, we're coming up with some polls, coming up with some stories, and hopefully going to equip you in every way we can for the election of 2024, which begins tomorrow on Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something. Hi, Sandy Rios back with you. Okay, so this is the day before Election Day that I'm recording this, Election Day 2024. Many of you have already gone to the polls, but there's a lot to discuss about what's happening around the country. Polls, you know, incidents, good news and bad news. So I'm going, Bruce and I are going to bring as much as we can today to just equip you to get prepared, because no matter what happens, tomorrow night, we are entering a turbulent season. I hope you understand that. Maybe I'll get into that more at the end of the conversation today, but I'm going to begin by playing a couple of clips for you. Now, I'm going to play the first clip. This is an ad running, on behalf of President Trump. I don't think it's produced by the Trump Organization. And I'm going to follow that by an ad, by Kamala Harris. And the reason I'm setting it up this way is I want you to listen carefully to what she says and listen carefully to what the first ad says and just compare the two, and we're going to talk about it at least briefly. All right, here we go. This is Kamala Harris, candidate Kamala Harris's closing ad. Let's listen.
Here's Hannah.
Come here, Hannah. Shake my hand. How you doing?
Good.
And bring everybody back together.
And that's exactly how I feel.
That's what I'm doing, man.
Okay, you have to stay in touch with me, okay?
I'm very serious about that.
I'd
love to.
Okay. Throughout this campaign, I've seen the best of America, and I've seen what is holding you back and weighing you down. High costs, fundamental rights taken away, and politics that have driven fear and division. You deserve better. As president, I'll bring a new generation of leadership. I'll take on price gouging and bring down the cost of groceries and housing and prescriptions. I'll fight for your freedom to make your own choices, and I will protect your health care and your benefits, not take them away. The vast majority of people in our country have so much more in common than what separates them. Good people, hardworking people. We see in our fellow Americans neighbors, not enemies. We believe in each other. We believe in our country. We're not falling for these folks who are trying to divide us. Together, we'll build a brighter future for our nation, where we stand for freedom, we stand for justice, we stand for the dignity of work. We haven't yet quite reached all of those ideals, but we will die trying because we love our country. Now, the baton is in our hands. I pledge to seek common sense solutions to make your life better. And I pledge to be a president for all Americans. Now I'm asking for your vote. Because as president, I will get up every day and fight for the American people. I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Well, beautifully done, if false. As I listen to that, I think of She stands for justice. I think of all the people that I know that are behind bars, held without bail, because they were on the Capitol, not even necessarily inside, on January the 6th of 2021. I think of all the people, I think of Donald Trump and all the charges brought against him. There, she's not talking about justice in the American justice sense of the term. She's talking about social justice, which is not the same thing. It's just a use of terms in a different way. We stand for freedom. I've already discussed that. We love our country. That's why Kamala was in charge of the border, and she's allowed it to stay completely open, flooding it with criminals and sex traffickers and drug operators. Really, we love our country. Well, I always say to you, look at what people do, not what they say. So I would say a lot more about that. There are a lot more things we could say, but I want to juxtapose that with this next ad. This is clip 12.
4 years ago, we took a wrong turn and lost our purpose. We lost the strength that makes Americans who we are. If we dared to speak the truth, it was called hate speech. And our values were labeled shameful. That's when everything we care about fell apart. We surrendered our borders, our paychecks, and our courage. Our patriotism was called toxic. Men could beat up women and win medals, but there was no prize for the guy who got up every day to do his job. Now we're being asked to settle for the way things are. And we're wondering if America can make a comeback. We can. Because we've done it before. When we get knocked down, we don't stay down. We get up again. We fight. We fight. We fight.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
All right, well, I love that ad because it certainly expresses my sentiments. And I am seeing that fight. I am seeing that fight. People are angry. And it's a different world now when you go to the voting booth. We were blindsided 4 years ago. We had no idea. Bruce and I are from Chicago, so we are accustomed to a certain amount of voter fraud, stealing, but nothing like what we saw 4 years ago. And I think people have had it. They've had it. Well, you know what? This is what? November the 4th, right before the election. And I want to read something from Cleta Mitchell. You've heard Cleta on this show a lot. She's a good friend of mine, but she's a national treasure. Cleta was let go from her law firm. She was a partner in her law firm in Washington, D.C., very successful election attorney for years for conservatives, not just elections, but she certainly did specialize in that. And she lost her job because she represented President Trump after 2020. She was in the middle of that malfeasance in Georgia, which I'm going to get to in just a second. And so she has gone on to establish what's called the Election Integrity Network. And I want to read to you what she posted this morning on her X account. Today is November the 4th. 4 years ago today, the election integrity movement was born. Millions of Americans woke up following the November 3rd election and said, "What?" And after watching all the unanswered questions, there arose a massive volunteer effort to reclaim our elections. And much has been done since that day all across America. Tens of thousands of volunteer hours have been spent learning state election laws, lobbying for changes, studying and cleaning the mess of the voter rolls, or trying to, studying election technology, becoming poll observers, workers, and officials, fighting the left-wing groups occupying the election offices in state after state, standing up against non-citizens voting in our elections, all the while being attacked, insulted, pilloried, harassed, and mistreated by the leftist media, the sworn enemy of honest, lawful elections. To my fellow election integrity patriots, thank you for all that you have done these past 4 years. You are saving our country. And to the evil propaganda media, ha, 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 we're just getting started. Happy birthday to the National Election Integrity Movement. God bless America. And God bless Cleta Mitchell. So I'm going to go right to, just for a second, to give you some information. Remember in Georgia 4 years ago when in the middle of the night they said some pipes had burst and they shut down the voting in that huge central counting arena, whatever it was called? And we saw a video. The problem was there was video running all night. And so let me just say that people in Georgia rose up. Clita wasn't the only one. There are great people down there in Georgia. They have a corrupt Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, he's still there. He was part of this problem. President Trump lost Georgia, not by that many votes, but the left claimed that there was nothing to that story. In fact, I pulled an AP little report, and it's a fact-checking thing. Misinformation about suitcases of ballots in a burst pipe in 2020. Claim: on election night in 2020, a burst water pipe at a ballot processing site in Georgia's Fulton County allowed workers to steal the election from former President Donald Trump. Claimed by who? Social media users. Fact check by AP News? False. A water leak just briefly delayed it, so there was nothing to it. It's false. So I want to go back and correct the record. Because Joseph Rossi held a press conference on the steps of the Capitol. I believe it was the Capitol. It was inside stairway with a bunch of people who've been working on this now for almost 4 years. And this is what he proclaimed. Let's listen.
Georgia owes President Donald J. Trump an apology. President Trump has been indicted by Fulton County. May I remind you that Fulton County has been found to be in violation of election law, not once for the hand audit, but twice for the machine count. And now we can prove that they had intentional human intervention, which is the predicate for election fraud. You all know our case is SEB 2023-25. In that case, you know that it involved 17,852 votes counted without ballot images. You also know that for the first machine count, 20,713 ballots were counted with what I like to call receipts. I guess the fancy word is tabulator tapes. And I always like to say you can't get out of Walmart these days without showing your receipt, but for some reason you can count 20,000 votes without a receipt.
All right, so that's just part of it. He goes on to talk and explain all of this, but I want to go backwards a little bit. I want to tell you the kinds of things that these people who have finally proven that those votes were absolutely mistabulated on that night. In fact, we have a video of a woman describing what's happening in that arena. She was there that night, and she's describing what's happening on that screen. It's a split screen, and it involves a mom and her daughter and some other people that she describes. Let's listen as they
was placed there by the lady with the blonde braids at about 8:22 a.m. in the morning. So she put that table there. So the same person who's staying behind now, the same person who cleared the place out under the pretense that we're going to stop counting, is the person who put the table there at 8:22 in the morning. Yeah, I saw four suitcases come out from underneath the table. Yeah, upper right hand, you see the gentleman in the red. So he just pulled one out. So what are these ballots doing there, separate from all the other ballots? And why are they only counting them whenever the place is cleared out with no witnesses? Is the question. So these machines can process about 3,000 ballots an hour. You have multiple machines there, and they're there for 2 hours. So you do the math. How many ballots went through those machines in those 2 hours when there was no one there to supervise, to be present, consistent with your statutes and rules?
All right, so that's just a very small portion of that analysis, but I just wanted to give you an idea. Remember that President Trump lost Georgia by 11,779 votes, and it was on a conversation with Brad Raffensperger, I told you, the corrupt Secretary of State. He happens to be a Republican. Clita Mitchell was on that call. If you've listened to the whole thing, you can actually hear her speaking up. She was on it with President Trump. And Brad Raffensperger lied about this. They edited that tape. They claimed that Donald Trump tried to talk Raffensperger into finding, 11,000, 12,000 ballots. It was taken out of context. He was not trying to encourage anything untoward. We just knew there was a lot of malfeasance. And you heard the opening guy say that, there's a total of 18,000, 39,000 votes just in this incident in Fulton County that were mishandled. And President Trump lost by 11,779. But now I want to tell you one thing further before I leave Georgia. So then we've got the AP saying that's all a lie. The pipes, that was a legitimate breakdown, and there was no truth to the suitcases full of ballots being pulled out. Well, of course, we saw it with our own eyes, and now we know it actually was true. But how did the Biden administration, Kamala administration, handle this? Well, let's see. Ruby Freeman was the mom who was part of this little project, and this is what happened to Ruby. This is clip 10.
Lady Ruby Freeman viewed her civic duty as a Fulton County election worker as a sacred mission to ensure the people of Georgia could exercise their fundamental right to vote freely and fairly. In the 2020 election, she upheld that sacred mission despite an orchestrated campaign to overturn the election and that targeted and threatened her and her family. And today, we the people honor Lady Ruby Freeman as part of our nation's voting rights history.
All right, so that was a ceremony in the White House. So Ruby Freeman is a real champion, according to the Biden-Harris White House, for what she did on that night. And then her daughter, well, let's see what happened to her. This is clip 11.
Inspired by the stories her mother told her about the movement for voting rights in America, Shay Moss pursued a career as an election worker in Fulton County, Georgia. Because of her dedicated service, she faced death threats, harassment, and intimidation by those seeking to overturn the outcome of the 2020 election. She would later testify to the nation about her pain and resolve. Today, we the people honor Shay Moss for helping to ensure the American people have a voice in the destiny of our nation.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah, wow, wow. Well, so that's the narrative. All you people that said there was voter malfeasance in Georgia, that was a lie, and these people now are heroes. This has been the story during the Biden-Harris administration. That's the truth about them. That is the truth about them on that one issue. And back to Clita, this election integrity movement was the reason it's taken them 4 years, and they finally got to the bottom of it. We've had similar things happen in Phoenix, or in Arizona. We've had similar things happening in Pennsylvania. So we the people, have really been rising up. And so tomorrow, while you're voting, I just encourage you, take your phones into the booth. I saw one clip of a woman who was using an electronic voter machine. She was trying to vote for President Trump, and it kept clicking to Kamala Harris, and she kept clicking the other box, and she took a video of it. We don't know. It's going to be different in different places. We have no idea what they have planned. We just know they have plans. And so make sure that you're diligent in what you see and what you do, and be sure and report what you're seeing. You can call your local election officials, or you can call your Secretary of State if you have one that's an honest broker. You can file a complaint. All you have to do is ask an election worker there. There's supposed to be someone from each party to help you do that. And so just be responsible and watch for stuff that isn't, normal. Okay, so I've asked Bruce to join me. Of course, my husband is a former FBI agent, a former prosecutor in Cook County, Chicago, and we went to vote on Saturday, and Bruce wore a trash bag. I thought that was kind of funny, Bruce, because you are garbage, according to Kamala and Joe. Trump voters are garbage.
Well, that's certainly what we were told by President Biden, and who
he actually
Kamala's
did say that.
Boss. He said that we are all garbage.
Yeah.
And when you juxtapose that against Kamala's ad.
Well, so let's go back to that Kamala ad that I played a few minutes ago. It's her closing ad. And Bruce, I know you'd like to comment on this. I it's hard not to. So let's listen to it again so we can actually respond to the issues. She says what she wants you to think are her positions. And let's actually talk about this. This is clip 7 again.
Hey, Hannah. Come here, Hannah. Shake my hand. How you doing?
Good.
And bring everybody back together.
And that's exactly how I feel.
That's what I'm doing, man.
Okay, you have to stay in touch with me, okay?
I'm
very serious about that.
I'd love to.
Okay.
Throughout this campaign, I've seen the best of America, and I've seen what is holding you back and weighing you down. High costs, fundamental rights taken away, and politics that have driven fear and division. You deserve better. As president, I'll bring a new generation of leadership. I'll take on price gouging and bring down the cost of groceries and housing and prescriptions. I'll fight for your freedom to make your own choices, and I will protect your health care and your benefits, not take them away. The vast majority of people in our country have so much more in common than what separates them. Good people, hardworking people. We see in our fellow Americans neighbors, not enemies. We believe in each other. We believe in our country. We're not falling for these folks who are trying to divide us. Together, we'll build a brighter future for our nation, where we stand for freedom, we stand for justice, we stand for the dignity of work. We haven't yet quite reached all of those ideals, but we will die trying because we love our country. Now, the baton is in our hands. I pledge to seek common sense solutions to make your life better. And I pledge to be a president for all Americans. Now I'm asking for your vote, because as president, I will get up every day and fight for the American people. I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
All right, so there's a lot to talk about. I've asked Bruce to join me because that provokes a lot of thoughts. Bruce, what did you think?
Well, it makes me wonder who's been in power for the last 4 years. She keeps talking about things she's going to do, things that need to be done, things that she has had direct responsibility for the last 4 years, and conveniently forgets about the border, about allowing riots in the street, about arresting people for political disagreement. I mean, all these freedoms that she talks about, they've done everything, that being the Biden-Harris administration, to tamp down freedom for so many of us. And anyway, I swear, for those of us old enough to remember, I'm waiting for Rod Serling from the Twilight Zone to go, picture yourself in a world where half the country is in complete delusion because of Trump derangement syndrome and Democratic gaslighting. I mean, maybe Trump did win the 2020 election, honey, and he's actually been the president for the last 4 years.
Well,
and we
I've heard it. I've heard people say that on our side. They've had a little bit untethered from reality too sometimes. But you know, one thing that made me laugh, she said if she becomes president, she'll get up every day and work for the country. And when you look at her track record as a worker, people who work with her say that she is one of the laziest people. In fact, I did a whole show with someone about Kamala's past, and she has a terrible reputation for not doing anything. She's quite privileged, and she, speaking of that word, she's made her, all of her advances were because of her affair with Willie Brown, the mayor of Los Angeles, and the eventual governor.
San Francisco.
The mayor of San Francisco, and eventually the governor of California. She was his mistress, his young mistress, and he was the one that got her started and got her in just about everything she got. And one of the big complaints was that she never worked. He gave her several positions on boards where she was paid $100,000, you know, a year, and she never showed up even for meetings. But for us, she's going to get up every day and work hard for our country. She's going to break the mold.
Yeah, it seems to me, if you think back to her campaign, which has really only been about two to three months, she's done very little until the last few weeks when people finally got fed up and said, you have to get out there. But, you know, you look at President Trump, and Kamala likes to say, oh, he's in bad health. Really? He's running circles around her. He's everywhere. She's selectively picking convenient venues, friendly venues, and having softball questions. I heard the question to her this morning was, have you cast your ballot yet? Have you sent it to California? And she's like, oh, yes, I've made arrangements. Then they asked her about a proposition on the California ballot, and she completely ducked the question.
You think President Trump has ever ducked a question like that? They said, how did you vote on Proposition 36? And she goes, well, I'd really rather not say right now. The person running for president that wants you to trust her judgment, she says she doesn't want to get involved in
that
proposition.
Well, you know, actually, Axios did a show, an article, and they published it this morning, and it's on why the left feels so uncertain about her because she's been so unclear about her policies. These are broad sweeping things that she's saying, like in this commercial, and that's what she's doing in her rallies. And they are not tethered with reality. I think another thing, this is really offensive. I kind of don't want to overstate my or overexpress my disdain for her because I have a ton of it. But factually, just factually, without emotion, she says she's going to protect your health care and your benefits while she refusing to stop the invasion of the border, giving them your benefits, your health care. Have you been to emergency room lately? Have you waited for hours because there are so many illegal immigrants because they have to treat them? Your benefits, your Social Security, do you think that's going to last under her leadership? No, it's going to crash and burn. That's an abject lie based on what she's actually been doing.
Yeah, Kamala likes to be one of these people. It's like when people ran for student council in high school or, you know, you talk in grand platitudes, broad platitudes, like I'm going to make it a better school. I'm going to make classes better. You know, that sounds great, but how are you going to do that? And they never get to it. And that's what Kamala is. Kamala never lays out her grand vision that she keeps talking about. Trump gives you details. Bang, bang, bang. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Kamala just talks in these grand platitudes of we're going to protect your Social Security. When you keep letting millions of people in who are being put onto Social Security or Medicaid, those benefits are leaving us. The people who have paid into those programs for years are going to be the ones that don't get them. I'll guarantee you if Social Security starts to go belly up, if Harris is elected, she will start a means test. And if you make too much money or you have too much, you will not get your Social Security. It will go to an illegal immigrant.
Yep. Well, there's a lot to say about that. I want to, on another note, you know, she did make an appearance at a major television program just this past week, and I thought people might find it interesting to listen for a second. This is clip 8.
This is it. The last campaign stop in Pennsylvania. Gosh, I wish I could talk to someone who's been in my shoes, you know? A black South Asian woman running for president, preferably from the Bay Area.
Sister.
It is nice to see you, Kamala.
It is nice to see you, Kamala. And I'm just here to remind you, you got this. Because you can do something your opponent cannot do. You can open doors.
I see what you did there, like to a garbage truck, right?
Like that, do I?
A little bit. Now, Kamala, take my Pamela. The American people want to stop the chaos
and end the dramala
with a cool new stepmamala. Kick back in our pajamalas and watch a rom Kamala.
Like Legally Blondela.
And start decorating for Christmas. Fa-la-la-la-la. Because what do we always say? Keep Kamala and carry on-a-la.
All right. Well, if you haven't figured it out, that's Saturday Night Live last Saturday night. It was funny. I think it was funny. But here was what was happening. Saturday Night Live did that full well knowing that that was a breach of election law. They have their license courtesy of the American people, and they are not allowed to be shilling for candidates, even though we know that their news and all the other things are not fair. But this is a particular program, and the rules are, according to Federal Communications Commissioner Brendan Carr, FCC Commissioner, he said that he told them ahead of time, if they aired this, this is going to be a breach of election rules. And the problem, the reason it's a breach is because when you do something like that, you have to offer equal time to all candidates. And they know that by airing it Saturday night, that there's no way that they can have President Trump on a Saturday night on Saturday Night Live. They just breached election protocol. Of course, what do they care? Because the head of the election of the FCC is a woman who was appointed by President Biden named Jessica Rosenworcel. In September, you might remember that she joined her fellow Democratic commissioners in approving Democratic mega donor George Soros' controversial purchase of over 200 radio stations in over 40 markets with the help of unvetted foreign investors who were spared the customary national security review process. That's how bad it is. So as funny as that little skit was, it was illegal. It's a breach of election protocol. And there's the speculation is because Trump is moving ahead in the polls, and he is, and I'm going to get to that in just a second, that they felt like they had to help him. Bruce, did you any thoughts about that yourself?
Well, it just fits into the pattern of what we see all the time. Media treatment of Democrats versus media treatment of Republicans or conservatives. And is it any surprise that a network like NBC just thumbs their nose at the federal laws? Because the ultimate decider of whether or not something will be enforced as a law is basically the administration. The administration, as you say, appointed this lady that's in charge of the FCC. She knows that Biden is not going to turn to his Department of Justice and say, hey, you know, they committed a violation, or whoever has jurisdiction over the FCC to fine them, remove them, do whatever. Nothing's going to happen.
You know, Bruce, a couple of more things about this. Kamala has been stealing President Trump's positions. She did it on no tax on tips. She's going to build a border wall now, she said.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot what else, but it's all just not true. And so her defenders say, she'll say, like, signal to her voters, I haven't changed my positions, and yet she'll say that. On fracking, too. She said she was totally against fracking, and now suddenly she's for fracking, which is how we get to our major source of energy that exists in the ground. So the other thing is they mentioned in a different skit, you may have seen this, Senator Tim Kaine is running for re-election in Virginia, and his opponent is a Vietnamese guy, no, it's Chinese actually, a veteran named Hung Cao. And Hung has now moved up in the ranking. I don't think people thought that he could win. Some people didn't. Now he's getting close enough that he could win. So who did they feature on Saturday Night Live in another skit? Tim Kaine, Senator Tim Kaine. So, yeah.
Just a coincidence. Amy.
Yeah,
just a coincidence.
Yeah, really. So, honey, you're an attorney, and I think you were telling me there's an effort to kind of handle the attorneys on this whole election scene, too, right?
Oh, there sure is. This actually is one of the more frightening consequences of what went on in 2020. There is something called the 65 Project. And the reason it's called the 65 Project is it targeted the 65 election challenges that were brought by President Trump after the 2020 election and his lawyers that brought them alleging election malfeasance. And, you know, we've been wondering, where are the bar associations on all of this, these lawfares against President Trump, all these trumped-up charges, no pun intended, all of these false accusations. Well, you know what? It seems like they're busy working against President Trump through another way. And this 65 Project, to me, it's like the mafia, because here's what they're doing. The 65 Project is warning attorneys that they better think twice about defending Donald Trump in court on any kind of election interference, or they risk losing their law licenses. And the way they're going to do this is anyone who files an election fraud challenge, which, you know what, you're allowed to do.
Of course.
But they're automatically assuming that there is absolutely no basis to the fraud charge, and that any attorney that represents Donald Trump, or in these cases, or in if he has any future criminal cases, they're going to file ethics violations against them through the local bar associations and try to have their law licenses removed. We've seen this already. John Eastman, Rudy Giuliani,
yes,
they had their law licenses taken away from them because they dared to advise President Trump. Now, we have talked about this before. Does this mean that if you're an attorney and you're representing somebody accused of murder, and you know darn well they've done the murder, and you stand up in court and you say, there's no evidence to prove my client committed this murder, does that mean now that that attorney is going to have his license removed because, hey, you knew there was no basis for making that defense? That's the equivalent. And so any of us that, you know, this is so unconstitutional, it sends shivers down my spine. I mean, this could upend the entire legal community.
Yes, and I'm not sure if you said this, Bruce, but it's Mark Elias running this. He's a big Obama-Clinton attorney who's, you know, one that's done the lawfare against Donald Trump.
Mark Elias, you know, guess where he came from before he was the general counsel for the Hillary Clinton campaign and the John Kerry campaign? He was a partner at Perkins Coie. I think we've heard that name before, haven't we?
Who were up to their ears in the malfeasance on the 2016 and also the Russian collusion issue. They're the ones that I think solicited that report.
That's the law firm, to just to refresh you, everyone. That's the law firm that paid for the fake dossier to be ginned up against President Trump in the 2016 election.
Yeah, one final thought on that. He's running, Mark Elias, through his project, are running ads in swing states threatening attorneys, threatening them on these ads if they help with the election or if they help Donald Trump. So there you go. That's how it's going. Now, there's a couple of quick stories I want to tell you about different states. I told you about what's happening in Georgia. They really sorted out some big things. I don't know if that means totally, but certainly Fulton County has been found out to be what they have been. In Arizona right now, which President Trump is supposedly ahead in Arizona, I'm going to give you some polls in a few minutes. Here's the story on this, Bruce. At the last minute, third-party groups, now nobody seems to know who they are submitting, have submitted nearly 100,000 voter registration forms in Maricopa County. Now, Maricopa is like Fulton County. It's the huge county around Phoenix. It's where a lot of the malfeasance in Arizona took place in 2020 as well. Now, here's the thing. A sizable portion of these forms, some 30 or 40,000 of them, are heavily damaged and could not be processed. Still others are registered under names like Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse. Of the 50,000 that could be processed, many still had defects. Some had missing information. This is all being reported by AZ Central. Now, before I read further from this article in The Blaze, AZ Central and the media in Arizona is terrible. It's worse than Chicago media, I think. They just don't tell the truth. And so they're reporting what I just said, that these 100,000 voter registration forms damaged have been presented at the last moment here. So this is what they say. Registrants whose addresses could be ascertained were issued a notice to cure their registration before the deadline of 7 p.m. on Election Day. As of Friday, election workers have already processed 4,800 provisional ballots. That's ballots where they're not sure if they're legitimate or not, and they put them in a kind of a different pile, supposedly. But here's the thing, they say. This is what AZ Central says. Despite going into great detail, AZ Central called out what it described as election denialism, implying that voters who distrust the system are a problem rather than the system itself. So it's we still got problems. In Pennsylvania, on the other hand, Elon Musk, his Elon pack is busing Pennsylvania Republicans to the polls. That's what the Democrats did last year. So for Fetterman, for John Fetterman, in 2022. So now Elon is doing it for this election. So there's just some interesting stories of things going on.
Well, you know, I think as an American citizen, I know this is going to sound pretty general, but you know, I am so disillusioned by the way our country conducts elections anymore. You know, when we were kids, the polls opened on election day at 6 a.m. They closed at 6 p.m. If you were in line at 6 p.m., you got to vote. You had to have some kind of way to show that you lived at your address. I don't know exactly. You know, obviously it varied by jurisdictions. But, you know, you just couldn't walk in and have a name on a piece of paper and show it and go, oh, that's who I am. You had to have some proof of who you were. You know, we counted the ballots, and by, say, 10 o'clock that evening in the East, we had a pretty good idea of who was winning or who had won the election. This stuff of presenting 100,000 voter registrations at the last minute, where have these been? Who are these people?
Yeah, and they're,
why can they, you know, how are they in this group together? How were they gathered?
Yeah, and there's a law in Arizona. I don't know if it's a national law, but it says that whoever handles the ballots, wherever they go, they have to be turned in within like 3 days of receiving them, something like that. So there's a lot of violations here, Bruce, and we have no idea. Were the ruined ones, you know, Republican votes? Who knows? We don't know, but we don't trust the system. And that's too bad. And oh, so here's another thing, Bruce. The DOJ is sending officials into 27 states to monitor voting rights compliance. And guess what states they're sending them in? Let's see. I will read them to you. This will not surprise you. It's going to be, hold on. It's 27 states. They include Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Texas. Also, they mention, there's some others. They say among those states listed by the DOJ are those known for their potential to swing toward either major political party, making them pivotal in determining the overall result of the presidential election. Again, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina sound familiar. And they're sending in people from the Department of Justice, you know, just little people they're going to send just to make sure that we, you know, nothing happens. I'm sure they have, fairness in mind as they're doing that.
You know, I'm going to tell on myself, because when I was a state's attorney in Chicago, they used to put us out into the precincts to, quote unquote, watch for any malfeasance. Let me tell you, we didn't know what we were doing compared to the pros that run these precincts. They could have been doing all kinds of things right in front of us. You're not trained before you go out. The government sends these officials there because they think this will intimidate any potential wrongdoers out of doing any wrong. Well, believe me, it doesn't work. These precinct captains and such, they know their jobs depend on getting the vote out and getting the people to vote the quote-unquote right way. And they're going to get it done no matter what. And so what's going to happen is, anytime, if I can predict, this is what will happen. Anytime a Republican judge in one of these jurisdictions makes an objection to a ballot, the Democrats are going to scream election interference. They have no basis for this. They'll call over the DOJ person, again, who won't know what they're doing, and he or she will probably say, you know what, just let them vote. We'll make it provisional. Well, you know, provisional ballots oftentimes end up getting counted, even if they're put aside. So I'm just telling you from experience, don't count on these quote-unquote governmental officials to handle any problems.
Well, from this DOJ, I don't think they have the good of the country in mind. So, but anyway, that's the kind of thing that you're going to face when you go to the polls tomorrow. Bruce, we need to take a break. But when we come back, I want to give just a brief recount on what the polls are saying. And we have just some closing thoughts for you. So we'll be right back after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
While the left fights to take the lives of babies, Preborn's network of clinics fights to save them. And to date, they have rescued over 300,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free. One ultrasound is just $28, or $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't stop trying to stop it. Together, you and I can save lives. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
What will we do with this moment? How will we be remembered? Look at the opportunities before us.
This election really isn't about the left versus the right. It's about we the people choosing our government and the choice between freedom versus tyranny.
Nobody has a chronic disease burden like we have. Why are we allowing this to happen to our children? Ultimately, the only thing that will save our country is if we choose to love our kids more than we hate each other.
What is going on here is deeper than politics. It is deeply spiritual. We are being called to rise above the hatred and the fear and the evil.
We need to remember above and beyond that we must love our neighbors, that we must treat other people as we hope to be treated.
You want to be a rebel? You want to be a hippie? You want to stick it to the man? Show up on your college campus and try calling yourself a conservative.
America is going to reach heights that it has never seen before. The future is going to be amazing!
Don't you want healthy children? Don't you want a president that's going to make America healthy again?
I come to you today as a former Democrat. I will be a first-time Trump voter tonight.
Sandy Rios with you. That's one of the final Trump ads that's running.
People dreamed this country, and it's the people who are making America great again.
All right. There you go. So that's one of the final ads for President Trump. The polls, I've been reading this morning, they're all over the place. I think I'll just say this generally speaking. I believe Nate Silver, who's one of the most respected pollsters, and he's certainly not a conservative. But he says something that Bruce and I have been talking about. We think that the polls are artificially close for a purpose because they want to mess with the election. The left wants to mess with it. And if it's close enough, then you will believe whoever wins, you're going to believe it. If Kamala should prevail, despite all that we're seeing, you could more easily believe it if you think they're only a half a point apart or a point apart, you see. Some of the other polls who are behind the scenes, like Rasmussen, is saying he thinks it's going to be a Trump landslide, like the 1980 Reagan-Carter election. And he goes and breaks it down, and he, in the swing states, most of them, it looks as though, according to his numbers, that President Trump is handily ahead beyond the margin of error. But we really don't know. One of the wild cards here is the independent or unaffiliated voters. We have a pretty good handle on who has already voted and the breakdown. Republicans are doing very, very well in a lot of the states, but Democrats are doing better in other states. North Carolina is amazing because they, in spite of what's happened to them, in spite of that hurricane, they have come out, and I read 70% of registered Republicans have already voted. Now, that's pretty amazing. So there are things happening, shifting, but I do want to warn you about something because it's important, and let's see if I can make it clear. I don't have a definitive narrative to give you on what's going to happen. Who does? But I do have some good sources, and this is what I want to explain. It seems, this is what I understand, we are expecting, that if President Trump should prevail tomorrow, if somehow there should, they don't stop the voting like they did last time, you know they'll be doing everything they can to adjust votes however they do it. But if he, for some reason, does as well as Rasmussen thinks, and some of the other pollsters also, and he prevails, and not only prevails, some are saying he might get the popular vote, then I'm not sure what they'll do, to be honest with you. The one tack they plan to take is to sort of do what they've been doing, and that is disparage the Electoral College, which I'm not going to go into that right now in this moment. We'll have plenty of time to talk about this in the days to come. They will say that the popular vote is the way the vote should be decided. So in other words, straight democracy, which is actually very dangerous. And again, we'll have a chance to talk about in the coming days, I know. And if they do that, they would declare that Kamala is the winner because she had the popular vote, if indeed she does get the popular vote, meaning more votes than President Trump, but not states that have more electoral college votes. So that's one thing. Now, if he should prevail on Tuesday night, they will drag this out. And the other thing that is being predicted with good authority is that they are planning on, you know, renting the mobs that you've seen in the streets before, who will come out in droves. There will be an encouragement to violence so that people like you and me and Bruce will be get discouraged. It will cause such a logjam and so much chaos that we will be more, you know, tempered to accepting whatever it is that has decided just to get it over with. I think they're expecting quite a bit of violence in Washington on January the 6th because, you know, they have a score to settle. And January 6th has like been the theme of the left. So January 6th is the date when the electoral votes are presented in Congress as they were last year. And so they have plans for that. Jamie Raskin's been pretty open about that. He's one of the biggest and best liars in Congress, a real opponent of Donald Trump. He's been, he was on the J6 committee, one of the chief liars in that little escapade. And so he's been warning us and kind of laughing about it. They have a lot of plans. They don't care if they destroy the Republic. One other speculation is that they have said in documents that they realize that, I don't know, I'm giving the categories names. They didn't give these names. People like us, our side, meaning people that love this country, patriots, are the ones who have guns. We have guns. So then they have to have guns because they are actually talking about some sort of a revolution or I'm not sure what you would call that. But they need guns. So they have been setting about to set the military up to be able to oppose their own people. our military to come against us because they're the ones with guns. I've heard all kinds of speculations. I would say, you know, that we have what's estimated as 250,000 Chinese nationals, military men in this country. Where do you think they are? What do you think they're doing? Why do you think they're here? I don't know, but I don't know if they're going to show up until January the 6th. I'm not sure what they're going to do. Are they going to shut down all the systems? We don't know. I'm trying to say to you, I've heard many people say, oh, I can't wait to get this over with. And I'm just telling you, be glad for your freedom today and tomorrow as you vote. Thank God for it, because I don't think we're going to come out of this unscathed. This is going to be hard. So set your jaw, you know, as it says in the Bible, set your forehead hard as a flint on truth and don't budge and show your courage if you haven't already done that. I know many of you have. Whatever form this takes, it's going to take some courage and set yourself to understand this is going to take place over a series of weeks, if not months, and it's not going to be pretty. So, and with that, Bruce, I don't know if you have any comments about that. I know you have something that you're going to read that'll sort of get our hearts ready.
Well, as an elementary thought, go and vote. Don't listen to the polls. Don't listen to people saying, oh, it's already been decided or it's not going to matter or the other side is going to cheat and your vote isn't going to count. Go out and vote. And you know what? Put a garbage bag on. I did, and I felt great when I walked into the polls. And while some people looked aghast at me, the lady that checked me in whispered, I get the joke, and I really think it's funny. So, because from President Biden calling us garbage. But anyway, I like to read a devotional every day. What I did is I skipped ahead to Election Day, November 5th. And allow me a little bit of time here, because it starts as a narrative and then it gives some scripture verses. So it says, people tend to think their circumstances determine the quality of their lives. So they pour their energy into trying to control these situations. They feel happy when things are going well and sad or frustrated when things don't turn out as they'd hoped. They rarely question this correlation between their circumstances and feelings. Yet, it is possible to be content in any and every situation. Put more energy into trusting me and enjoying my presence. Don't let your well-being depend on your circumstances. Instead, connect your joy to my precious promises. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will meet all your needs according to my glorious riches. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from my love. And as a scripture, Genesis 28:15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. And Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So I think we need to keep that in mind. Like Sandy was saying, no matter what happens tomorrow, this is not the cure-all. This will not be the end-all. It will just be another part of history. And I know it's trite, but we all know that good wins in the end. And we may be in for some rough times. I don't deny that at all. This may get very rough. But remember, keep your eye on the ball.
Heck yeah, and on Jesus. What, Bruce, that's from which, what do we call, we should give credit?
Jesus Calling.
Yeah, Jesus Calling book. All right. All right, sweetheart, thank you. And that's, as we close, in fact, Bruce, let's pray. Father, we need you so desperately every day of our lives, but we feel it more when we come into something like this. So, Lord, give us strength and courage, and above all, wisdom. Help us to see clearly the events that are unfolding, and help us to react in a way that honors you and glorifies your name. We trust you, Lord Jesus, as we go into this election day 2024, and we just ask that your will be done. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as we close, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Honey, thank you for joining me. And I want to remind you that we have a great sponsor, Timothy Plan. It's a place where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, I hope you enjoyed or got you ready for tomorrow, Election Day 2024, on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.